When I was growing up, still growing up, it's a hard journey. But anyway, when I was growing up, and probably about their age, and a little younger and a little older, there were people in my community who called me Margaret Brown. But you know, I was Margaret Preston. And what caused the problem was when my parents were first married, they moved in with my grandparents and lived there for the first probably 5 or 6 years of their marriage. When I was 4, my mom and dad moved out, still in the yard. You know how it was in Newfoundland communities. Grandfather had a piece of land. Part of it went to my mom. And my dad and his new family, mom had 4 brothers, they built a house for my mom and dad. And as I say, after 4 years living with mom's parents, they moved out into this new house, and naturally, I moved out too. The next morning, my grandmother came out and she said, "Margaret has to go back in." She said, "Your father didn't sleep a wink last night. He wants Margaret to stay with us." So that's why I had a mixed identity in the community. Many people thought that I was my grandparents' child, hence Margaret Brown. But I knew who my father was. I was Margaret Preston. I want to start today, because I know you have several children here, I want to start with a little Bible quiz. I have 7 questions. And the quiz could be called, the same as the sermon topic, "Who is my father?" Now, there are 5 clues. The first one is very general. And if you get it on that first clue, well, you really know your Bible well. But it goes down, getting easier and easier, and the last clue pretty much gives it away. And I would like for the children to have an opportunity to answer as many of these questions as they can. So if the adults could refrain from answering until we see if there's a child who would like to answer, that would be tremendous. The first one, and some of these are very difficult, so don't feel, you know, embarrassed if you don't get them easily. My father's brothers cast him out because he was the son of a harlot. My father became a mighty warrior. Clue number 3, my father's countrymen came to Tob to get him to come back home to Gilead to help them fight against the Ammonites. Clue number 4, my father was one of the judges of Israel. And clue number 5, my death came when I was just a young maiden because of a rash vow made by my father. Do we get it? It's a hard name to pronounce. It's an unfair one to start with. But I figured if you were challenged right at the beginning, then you'd tune in and see someone going to attempt the pronunciation. His name is Jephthah. Yeah, difficult name. We don't have many Jephthahs around our community. And who am I? Well, you know, throughout the story, I was only known in Judges 11 as his daughter. Number 2, my father was more than willing to trust God with his very life. Contrary to custom at the time, my father gave an inheritance to me and to my 2 sisters, as well as to our 7 brothers. My father was the greatest of all the men in his area. My father's friends questioned and doubted my father's character. And the last clue, my mother told my father to curse God and die. Ah, Job. Unfortunately, my father could be deceitful. My father was visited by an angel. My father fathered many children through his wives and concubines. My mother was my father's wife for many, many years, and I was her only child. My father was severely tested by God when God asked him to offer me as a sacrifice. Abraham, right. And of course, in the second last one, I could have been Jemima. No? Who was I there? Yeah, I could have been Jemima, I could have been Keziah, or I could have been Karen Hapak, because these were the three daughters of Job. So that was Abraham, and of course the son was Isaac. My father was not a good disciplinarian. Our large house was filled with my father's many wives and children. My father embarrassed one of his wives with his rash behavior in public one day. Okay, where my father was Judah's second king. And my father was known well for his bravery when he was a young boy. David, right. And of course, this could have been Solomon or any one of the many, many children that David fathered. My father was crippled. My father was known for his trickery and deceit. My father had two wives and two concubines. My father hastened away to a foreign land, but after many years decided to return home. Good for you. My father had a beautiful dream of a ladder extending from heaven to earth. So, of course, that would, for sure, Jacob. And I could be Joseph, Benjamin, or any one of the 12 brothers of Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob. My father was a king of Judah. For much of his reign, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations. Let's get a few more clues now. He was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 55 years. Oh. No, Joash, I think, was 8 years old. I knew that would throw Josiah. No, he was younger than 12, too, I believe. Not quite sure of the age there. Okay, let's get another clue. In these years, he even offered some of my brothers as burnt offerings to the pagan gods. So he was a very bad king. And listen to the last clue and imagine the picture. Here's a king. After being led away prisoner by the Assyrians with a ring in his nose, he humbled himself to God and realized the Lord alone is God. Yes, say it. Manasseh. The last one should be a very easy one. My father's love was beyond justice and beyond reason. Close. My father knew how to celebrate. He could give a big party. My father was very approachable, even on difficult topics. My father is sometimes known as the perfect father. Now listen to the last clue and think of something you already heard earlier this morning. My father never gave up on hoping I'd return home. Of course he doesn't have a name. Make no wonder it was so hard to get him right. He doesn't have a name. The father of the son. Yeah, of course. The father of the son. Yes, the prodigal son's father. What is my father's name? Well, I called him Dad. All of his grandchildren called him Dada. My mom called him Char. His parents called him Charlie. He was christened Charles. Some of his friends called him Skipper, and in later years called him Old Man. But you know, we had Shakespeare ask the question, what's in a name? And he says, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But a name is very important. When my dad wrote me a check, which I liked, he couldn't sign it Dad. He had to sign it by his legal name. By some counts, there are 20 different names mentioned in the Bible for our Heavenly Father. And each of these names has great significance. Jesus called him Abba. When he prayed in the Garden of Eden, that was the term he used. And in Aramaic, we're told that Abba is a familiar name that small children use for their fathers. It's equivalent to our daddy. Yahweh is the most commonly used name for God in the Old Testament. I don't know who counted them, but the source that I saw said it occurs more than 6,500 times in the Bible, the name Yahweh for God. It's really the same as Jehovah. It means the God who is always there. He is before all things, the source of all things, self-existent, the great I am. And then there's Adonai. It's a sort of royal title. It denotes majesty, respect, authority. And in English Bibles, it's often translated as Lord, and often combined with the word Jehovah to refer to God as the Lord God. He's the one in charge, the boss. And we may want to pause and say, who or what is in charge of our lives? Often we say God is our Lord, but yet our actions show that someone else or something else is in control. In Genesis 6:13, Hagar called the Lord who spoke to her Elroy. You are the God who sees. The all-seeing God had noticed her distress and came to comfort and guide her life. You know, the idea that God can see everything could be disturbing to some people. But the fact that he's watching over us to care for us should be a very comforting thought. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 17, he referred to himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the one who would make his covenant with me and you, God and Abraham. El Shaddai is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible for him. He is all-sufficient. No matter how many promises there are in the Bible, somewhere between 5 and 7,000, our Almighty God, El Shaddai, is able to keep every one of him. Don't worry about the little guy making a sound. I live with my four grandchildren, so don't you worry at all. They're all 5 and under, so it's not bothering me at all. So don't be concerned. It's lovely to hear children's voices in the house of God. I rejoice when I saw your front pew filled here with children today. It's the life of the church, and God bless them, everyone. So yes, between 5,000 and 7,000 promises in God's word, and our God, El Shaddai, is able to keep every one of them. We're told in Genesis that it was Elohim who created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is the creator God, the one who by his awesome power spoke the world into being. He is the God powerful enough to create a world from nothing. He is also the God strong enough to handle anything you or I may face. This Elohim is the name used for God approximately 2,300 times in the Old Testament. So I talked about Dad, Dada, Char, Charlie. You can see God is one of many names as well. And I'm just touching on the surface of them here. There are many, many more. But I'm sure we can conclude, as did the hymn writer Audrey Meyer, who on a Christmas day in 1955 wrote the beautiful hymn, His Name is Wonderful, whichever name we choose. Now, what does your father do for a living? Or what did your father do for a living? What's his job, his profession, his occupation? Well, my father worked as a lumberjack, or he worked on the sawmill, cutting lumber in the winter, sawing it in the summer. He also worked as a cook in the lumber camps, or on ships, or as a cook in Labrador, with the Labrador Miners and Explorers, way back before the Iron Ore Company of Canada started work in what first was known as Carroll Lake and then became known as Labrador City. What about our Heavenly Father? What type of work does he do? Well, we know he's an instructor and a teacher. Psalm 25:5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." We know he's creator. Many verses in the Bible testify of that. Isaiah 64, verse 8 is one of them. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand." I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verses 26 to 30, where it tells us that he is our provider. Starts off by saying, "Look at the birds of the air." Matthew 6, verses 26 to 30. "Look at the birds of the air. It says they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It goes on to say, are you not of more value than them?" It says, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed out better than they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" God is our provider. That's one of his roles, one of his jobs. Colossians 1:14 tells us that he's also our deliverer. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It goes on in other verses to tell us he's our life giver. He's our peacemaker. We can only scratch the surface here today on the different roles of God our Father. And I like that hymn that says, "The King of love my shepherd is." I like that. The King, royal, majesty, but yet a shepherd, one of the lowliest of tasks. He does them all. What about my father's authority? Well, likely many of us heard, "You wait until your father gets home." Well, what did he do then? After hearing the details of the misdemeanor, and never so bad in the retelling as it seemed at the time, he would say, "It hurts me to know you behave like that." And then he'd ask, "How does it make you feel?" And of course now, you feel so hurt that you promise never to do it again, because you love your daddy so much, you don't want to hurt him. And why was he hurt? Well, because he loves you too much to accept improper behavior. and to see that you're not developing good character traits. What about my Heavenly Father's authority? We're told that he can, like Jesus, speak to the wind and waves and calm them. He can command the sun to stand still. He can order the demons to leave a troubled soul. He can melt the heart of a sinner and draw him to his bosom. He loves us the way we are, but like my Father, he loves me too much to leave me like that. Isaac Watts said, "I sing the mighty power of God." Yes, I sing the mighty power of God too, but that mighty power is power that can change a sinner to a child of God. Goes on to say, it took a miracle to put the stars in place. But you know, the greatest miracle of all for you and for me was that miracle that saved us by his grace. What about my Father's character? Well, if you ask his mother-in-law, you'd get one account, and his father-in-law, another account. My father, according to my grandfather, was a bit on the lazy side. You see, my grandfather got up on Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock. That was an hour later than he got up Monday through Saturday. And my father liked to sleep in on Sunday mornings. And my grandfather had very low tolerance for anyone who kept to the bed. Right. If you ask my mother about my father's character, you're going to get a different story than what her parents gave. After over 50 years of marriage, she could still be wooed with my dad's singing and his guitar playing. And ask his children. Oh, for us, of course, he was loving. And when he came out of the lumber camps and he unpacked his pack sack and he had a treat in there for us, you know what the treat was? Ginger cookies. Sometimes it was Frankum. Sometimes it was Frankum, you're right. But ginger cookies that he had made in the lumber camp for his men, he'd save a few to bring home to us. And you know, after my dad retired, he got back to the practice of making ginger snaps for us again. And he would put them in the mail with a little note, made by God, Dad with love for, and he'd have our name there. My sister, who's into tattooing, actually has tattooed on her arm what Dad used to write on the notes that he'd put in with his ginger cookies. Yes. If you ask his neighbors and friends, they'd have their stories about his character too. Many of the men would say, well, you know, we'd go to the house, his house, any Saturday morning we wanted to and could get a haircut. If we went in the afternoon, Blanche may not receive us so kindly because she would have had her kitchen floor cleaned and now Char was going to make hair all over the floor. But Dad would do it. You know, he was only too glad to do a favor for the men in the community. What about the character of our Heavenly Father? And again, it depends on who you ask. If you started off by asking Satan, we know he'd say God is unfair, God is unjust. If you ask someone who doesn't know God very well, they'd probably say he's harsh, he's stern, he's out to get you. You know, you do one thing wrong and he's there to grab you. If you ask the insurance companies, they see him as the one responsible for all the destruction. In fact, we even have a term for it, act of God. If we ask David, the shepherd, he would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If we ask Job, because he had come to know and trust him so well, he'd sing his praises and conclude by saying, "Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Micah would say, Where is another God like you, who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Paul, of course, would say, all that God is written in 1 Corinthians 13 when he talks about love and what love is. Because God is love. God is patient. God is kind. He's not jealous. He's not boastful. He's not proud. He's not rude. He's not irritable. And so many more of these great characteristics. Ezra talks of God's righteousness. Isaiah of his mercy. Habakkuk writes of his purity. Malachi tells us, I am the Lord, I change not, showing how God is dependable. And if we ask Jeremiah, he'd tell us, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. New mercies begin afresh each morning. We're going to be singing a hymn about that a little later, called Great is Thy Faithfulness, that was inspired by these words from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. How do you see him? Can you say with me, our God is an awesome God? Finally, how did my father regard his children? Well, there's lots I could say about that. But I can sum it up in a statement that he made frequently to my mother when he'd gaze at the family photos in our living room. He'd say, we have the best family in the world. And how does my Heavenly Father regard his children? Interestingly enough, some of these verses were read by the children this morning during the children's story time. And those who read some of them may recognize, oh, I read that, maybe a slightly different version. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I love that word propitiation. It sounds so much of a mouthful. I like the way it was read by one of the children this morning when they said it was an atoning sacrifice. Really what it means is, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to pay the price for my sins. And 1 John 5:24 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Luke 11:13 says, and if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 12:7, a verse that always amazes me, says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. That's how well he knows us, whether that's actual or it's just, you know, a term for the depth of his knowledge of his children. But it goes on to say, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And a verse that I always read and feel the heartache of Jesus and of God our Father in Luke 13:34, when he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I wish I could sing like the little girls that sang, the young girls that sang this morning. I would sing some of this to you. But the song that says, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Yes, I know my dad loved me very much. He showed it in so many different ways. But he was limited in what he could do because he was human. I also know my Heavenly Father loves me very much. He has shown it and continues to show it in so many different ways. Because he is divine, his love is unconditional. His power is limitless. He will be available to me today, tomorrow, and always. And because we are his children, we have a special status. We're told in Romans 8:17, now if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Yes, all that majesty, all that glory of my Heavenly Father is very important. But even more important and encouraging to me is to know who my Father is. And as the songwriter Stuart Hamlin wrote, my Father is big enough to rule his mighty universe. But he's small enough to live within my heart. I'm so happy to be his child. How about you? Yes, our Father in heaven, how blessed we are to have you as our Father, you as our God, you as our Creator and the King of the earth, and the God who loves us so much that one day he will be coming back to take us so that we may spend eternity with you. Father, keep our hearts in tune with you. Bless us and help us so that our desire day by day is to be faithful children of our Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask now for your special blessing on this waiting congregation. May each father here today continue to be a strength in the home, an encouragement to their families, and may our homes be blessed with the presence of our Heavenly Father, in whose name we delight and dwell forever. Amen.